All right, let's go ahead and open up to Romans 12. We're taking a look at these spiritual gifts. I've had a lot of correspondence on these spiritual gifts. This seems to have struck a nerve with some people who've been emailing me. So we're going to spend one more week looking at it, especially with this idea of proportionality and what all that means and his purpose for writing this chapter 12. And I think it would just be worthwhile here to just begin with this basic concept so we understand what chapters 12 and 13 are. It's so easy to fall in the trap. You get a study Bible and it outlines it. Chapters 1 through 8, Paul gives us positional truth. Romans 9 through 12, he gives dispensational truth. And there's no overlap. There's no comparison. They're two separate bodies of truth. And now in chapter 9 through 16, he's giving us what is called practical truth. No interaction with the others. It's now he's in the practical section. But that's kind of false. That can be helpful from a teaching aspect to kind of get your idea around a book. But then if you think that all he's writing chapter 12 and 13 for, the reasons he's writing this, is just to give you a list of do's and don'ts, you're going to miss the real reason he's writing Romans 12 and 13. Romans 12 is an answer to a problem. Either it's a real problem that's beginning to grow in Rome, or Paul sees it as a potential problem from reports from his co-workers that they are using or could possibly begin using these spiritual gifts as an opportunity to think highly of themselves. That's why he starts out this section. Don't think, look at verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." And then he goes into the that everything we do is supposed to be centered on the body of Christ, made up of many members, united together and knit together in love. Everything we're supposed to be doing today is supposed to be working together for that, building each other up in God's truth for today. And evidently, based on his giving these instructions to him, maybe there were a few there, or maybe there were potentially some there who were beginning to use these spiritual gifts and from a high-minded standpoint. Oh, I have prophecy. You know, I'm better than the rest of you guys. Or I have teaching, a ministry of teaching, or the gift of ministry, or whatever it is, as he goes down through here. And that shouldn't be too foreign to us, because we all know that's what happened in Corinth too, right? They had the same thing. He said the gifts they were using to puff themselves up instead of to use them for the edification of the body of Christ. And he's bringing out something similar. Obviously, the problem in Rome isn't as great as the problem in Corinthians, but what they mostly needed to understand, these Romans, is what they needed to realize is these partial and temporary gifts they were experiencing that he lists out here were just temporary and partial. They're not going to go on forever. Once his one spiritual truth that he talks about in Romans 1:11 and gives a title to in Romans 16:25, once they get the one spiritual gift that could completely, permanently build them up, establish them in God's truth for today, what they needed to realize is not get puffed up with these other gifts, but realize they're going to have to let them go. The Holy Spirit is going to use more and more of Paul's one spiritual gift that we've been taking from Romans 16:25. He identifies there, it's Paul's gospel, the gospel of grace and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. We've been condensing that down to our title, Pauline Grace Mystery Truth, kind of condensing that whole verse down to those four words. As they get more and more of this, what they needed to realize is the Holy Spirit was going to use that more and more, and those temporary partial spiritual gifts less and less until they eventually cease. So what does that have to do with the purpose of Romans 12? There must be a problem or a potential problem brewing where some are using this these spiritual gifts as an opportunity to think highly of themselves, to the detraction of the of the body of Christ and its unity. And Paul wants to make sure they realize when he comes, that's what he hoped would happen. But of course, we know now he didn't go there, not in the way he thought anyway. And instead, he sent this letter to them. When this letter comes that has that one spiritual gift that can fully establish them, what they needed to do is they needed to open their hands and empty them of these temporary partial spiritual gifts so they could receive his one spiritual gift. And so as that arrives, Pauline Grace Mystery Truth, once they received especially this letter to Rome, it's going to take their understanding and availability of Pauline Grace Mystery Truth, make it available to them, and it's go from his co-workers to maybe some of his other early epistles, and now when they receive the book of Romans, it's going to go, whoosh, that measure of the faith, that measure of faith, Pauline Grace, it's going to go way up. And Paul's point is here, when Pauline Grace Mystery Truth goes way up, especially when they receive this letter from Rome, they need to realize the Holy Spirit's going to use those temporary and partial gifts much less. Until eventually, when this Pauline Grace Truth is completed, those temporary partial gifts will completely diminish and go off the scene. They're going to cease. So in Romans 12, it's not, he's not just giving practical truths. He's giving practical truths for a dispensational reason, explaining to them that once they receive his one spiritual gift, Pauline Grace Mystery Truth, that could fully establish them, they don't need to go back to those temporary partial gifts. That could not fully establish them because the agape love, and that he's going to pick that up in verse 9 right after this list, the agape love that Pauline Grace Mystery Truth produces far surpasses anything that those other spiritual gifts could accomplish. And they will diminish and eventually cease. And he tells the same thing. We usually study it more from 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. He's saying the same thing here. These gifts are going to diminish and eventually cease and go off the scene. And the Holy Spirit's going to rely more and more, work more and more out of the book of Romans. And that's what we're going to see tonight. We'll see how that works. That's what the rest of chapter 12 is. How to replace those spiritual gifts with what he lists in the rest of chapter 12. And just, we'll just say this very briefly, but just so we keep it in mind, and it's the same idea in Romans 13. He's not just giving a list of practical truths there. Romans had a problem with the law, didn't they? All the way from the beginning of the book, he's been talking about Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law, without the law. Salvation is by grace through faith without the law. Abraham was saved by faith without works of the law. Then you get to Romans 6, the reason why you're set free from sin is because you're not under the law, you're under grace. Romans 7, he gives the example of what happens when a believer goes back under the law. And it's a defeat. And they have a problem with the law, too. They may have a potential problem with the gifts, and they have an actual problem with the law. That's one of the main correctives of this whole epistle. And in chapter 13, he's going to explain the same thing, that agape love that Pauline Grace Mystery Truth produces fulfills the law. The point is, they don't need to go back to the law. They don't need to go back to these spiritual gifts, these temporary partial spiritual gifts, and they won't need to go back to the law because Pauline Grace Mystery Truth and the love it produces exceeds anything those temporary spiritual gifts could produce and exceeds anything that law called for. He's going to say there it fulfills it. The idea is it fills it to the brim and overflows it. And we'll see more of that when we get there. But I just wanted to point that out. Here in chapter 12, he's the dispensational change that's going to come and the diminishing and ceasing of the temporary spiritual gifts. And in chapter 13, he's going to explain they don't need to go back to the law either because the love of Pauline grace exceeds anything the law called for. All right, so last week we ended with this. Here's the pattern. It's set up in this way. So let's pick it up and see that the pattern is set at the end of verse 6. Let us prophesy, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So you have this proportion of faith. What they needed to understand is not get high-minded with these gifts, because these gifts are, first of all, are supposed to be used to build up and edify the body of Christ, not to build up an individual, but to build up the body of Christ. And not only that, but don't get puffed up with these spiritual gifts, because they're going to go away. They're going to be used proportionately. The Holy Spirit's going to use them in proportion to how much of the faith, the body of truth, not this our subjective faith we believe, but the objective faith, what we believe, God's body of truth for today. And again, we've been kind of condensing Romans 16:25, Pauline grace, mystery truth. And so the more a Pauline grace mystery truth is available, the less the Holy Spirit will rely on a special gift of prophecy. And we go through here. We left off this last week, so I just wanted to bring it back to memory. But then for ministry, the more that there's the body of truth, Pauline grace mystery truth, is available for today, the less the Holy Spirit will rely on a gift of ministering or a gift of teaching or a gift of exhorting or giving or leading or showing mercy. And so tonight what I thought I'd do is take a look at how the rest of Romans 12 now is going to show them, is going to teach them how to replace. Let me put it another way. It's really not something they do. It's something the Holy Spirit does. How the Holy Spirit is going to displace those temporary partial spiritual gifts and replace it with Pauline grace mystery truth. And that's what I think we'll look at tonight. So this means that the spiritual gifts, this proportionality concept, means that the spiritual gifts begins with whatever teachings they had of Paul. Now remember, Paul hadn't been to Rome. Some of his co-workers were there. They probably already had some of his early epistles, perhaps 1 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, maybe Galatians. They would have had some exposure, but you know what? They would have read Galatians, and what would they have said? They would say, what's all this stuff about the law? They would have read 1 Corinthians, and they would say, what's all this stuff about love? They would have read 1 Thessalonians and asked questions there. None of those letters had the full picture. But pretty soon, let me go back up a step, because none of those in letters had the full story, the Holy Spirit complemented them with these temporary partial spiritual gifts. And the point is that when they would start with whatever Pauline grace truth they had, let's say 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, Galatians, they start with that, they look in that, they have questions or problems or things they need answered, they go to God, the Holy Spirit, and pray about it. And God would give them a special spiritual gift to help them with that situation, because they only had partial truth, the partial revelation of Pauline grace truth. But once they get this letter to Rome, it's going to explain everything. It's going to put everything in place. It'd take them from maybe 40%, 25% Pauline grace mystery truth, way up to 80%. And then once Ephesians is written, it'll top it off, and you'll have all the Pauline truth, grace truth there is. And it'll top it all off. So when they get this letter, they needed to realize, don't cling to those spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit is going to use this Pauline grace truth. They were to start with whatever they had, and if they couldn't find the information they needed in those and whatever they had available to them at that point, in order to unify and edify the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit would supply additional gifts to fulfill those needs until the full revelation of Pauline grace truth became available to them. And the proportionality, therefore, the more of Pauline grace truth they get, and there's going to be a huge increase when they get this letter to Rome, more of that they get, the less the Holy Spirit's going to use those temporary partial gifts. He's going to work from this, and we'll see how he's going to do that in the final verses here of chapter 12. So Paul is telling the Romans that these spiritual gifts would rely more and more on his scriptures until they were complete, and these spiritual gifts would no longer be needed. Paul isn't, now when we go ahead and pick it up here, I don't know, hopefully some of you have looked ahead and read down through 9 to chapter, verse 9 to verse 21, but he's going to list now a whole bunch of exhortations, I guess you could say, of things for them to do. And he's going to list it. And some commentators say it's a very odd list because there's like, doesn't seem to be much coherence. It's one person described it. One commentator said it's kind of like listening to an auctioneer. You know, he just blah, 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 blah. And he just goes all the way down. And it's going to come. He's just going to start piling these things on. And we'll see why he does it that way as we go through here. But Paul isn't just giving a long list of exhortations because he has entered the practical section of Romans. In context, he gives these exhortations to show them that they are now to rely less and less on those temporary partial gifts he lists above and rely more and more on his permanent gift, Pauline scriptures. And that's what he's going to show them in the rest of chapter 9. This is no reason to wish for the good old days. Ages ago, when way back when we had kids, they went to a Christian school in the area. And while it was non-denominational, it was affiliated with an Assembly of God church. So sometimes there was some overlap and you had to go to some assemblies and things like that. And I remember once with the pastor saying there, we need a revival. We need to get back to Pentecost. We need to return to the faith of the early church. And of course, he's talking about these temporary, at least these temporary and partial spiritual gifts. He's trying to get those back. He wants to speak in tongues. He wants to have these special gifts. He wants to get all. And he thinks it's because we don't have any faith that those that obviously they're not occurring today, and he's still striving for them. He wanted to go back to the good old days of the early church. Well, let me explain, at least from my opinion, is that those weren't the good old days. Those weren't the good old days at all. Those good old days just had partial and incomplete revelation. Today is the good old days. We have the complete revelation of Pauline grace truth. We have the complete revelation accessible. Every house in the country, even unbelieving houses, have Bibles in the house. Everybody has, it's accessible and available anywhere you go. We have all that. This is the good old days. And that pastor was trying, he was saying, no, we need to go back to the early church, the faith of the early church and those signs. And it's just not the case. Those were the bad old days when God had to give special gifts just to get them through that. Now we have the complete canon of Pauline scripture. We have the completed Pauline grace mystery revelation recorded in the scriptures. And that can fully and completely and permanently establish us, accomplish what those previous temporary and partial gifts couldn't do. If those temporary and partial gifts could have fully established the Romans, then he wouldn't have had to send them another spiritual gift that would establish them. Romans 1:11, that was his whole purpose for wanting to go there. and they need what they needed to realize. Don't use these gifts to get, think highly of yourself. Use them to build up the church, and then by the way, they're going to go away. It's not the good old days. It's the bad old days, and those are going to end when God finally makes available through the Apostle Paul his complete revelation of mystery truth for today. Today, the Holy Spirit doesn't work through those special endowments of partial spiritual gifts. He works through the completed spiritual gift of God's Word as recorded in the Pauline grace mystery scriptures, Romans through Philemon. And there's some verses there. We've looked at all those in the past and recently. So I just included them if you want to follow up on your own. But we're not going to go and look those up right now. All right. So the point is, today we don't need a special spiritual gift. We have the full and complete spiritual gift that Paul said was able to fully establish the believer today. And now the Holy Spirit is working through that. And so if we just think about this, now if we go through back to these gifts, here we list out the gifts here. The first one is prophecy. Well, prophecy is the giving of new revelations. Well, once you have the full and complete revelation from God of His truth for today, you don't need any more partial revelations, new revelations. You have the whole thing. You've already got it. You don't need that gift anymore. And we read about that in Colossians 1:25. For ministering, we have now the full revelation of Paul's ministry, especially the ministry of reconciliation. Let's just look right here at the beginning of Romans. Go to Romans 1 and look what Paul's ministry. Remember, this first half of Romans 1 is the pattern of Paul's ministry. The pattern that God has set for how God is operating today. And we just see here, notice, let's keep a finger in Romans 12 too, because maybe we'll flip back and forth. While you're keeping a finger in Romans 1, go back, and I just want you to see the tie-in here. He's talking about the same thing. Go back to 12:3. I just want to point out the phrase here, 12 verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me, that's his apostolic grace, his special apostleship. Now go to verse 5 of chapter 1, and you'll see it picks up at the same point. This is Romans 1, verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. Apostleship of grace. That's what he just talked about in Romans 12, 3. For obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name. A name there is a reference to his glory, for his glory. Among whom are ye also, the Romans, and of course everybody else since then, also the called to Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you want to know how to do a ministry? Here you go. Once you are based on Pauline grace apostleship, you understand Paul's distinct apostleship, he's got a new program. He's been commissioned by God to take his blessings out to the Gentiles apart from Israel, without Israel. That's our olive tree, Romans 11. He's taken Israel out of the place of blessing, whereby the Gentiles had to go to Israel to get the blessings. They got the blessings through Israel. Now Israel is taken out of that position. The world, which is 99.8% Gentiles, he's put them there. So it's really the Gentiles he's going out to. And now they can access his blessings directly, without the nation of Israel. Once you're in sync with that, you're ready to do some ministry. Verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. So you're thankful for the saints, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. Now guess what's going to be one of the things he lists later in Romans 12? He's going to talk about service to the Lord through a zealous spirit. Does that sound a little familiar here? Paul's ministry becomes the pattern. And he says here, first serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. You know what one of those things in the rest of Romans 12 is going to be? It's going to be instant in prayer. Where'd that come from? It comes from Paul's ministry. It's the pattern. Making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. He's going to make himself available to others. Why? Not to be their doormat, not to be just do whatever they want. There's a specific reason. Agape love is not considering your own things, but considering the things of others. But it doesn't stop there. You can never leave off the last phrase. It's not considering others just to do whatever they want. Is cannot consider or considering the others unto their edification. They're being built up in God's truth for today. And that's what he's going to do here. Verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. The idea there is fully established. So you want to know what your ministry is? You want to know how to minister? You don't need a special gift. You just need to come and read these verses. Our ministry is now take out Paul's spiritual gift, what he identifies in Romans 16:25, and we've been shortening to Pauline grace mystery truth, and take it out to others. Normally through an assembly of believers, through that assembly for the most part, but then also in our individual lives as well. That is, verse 12, that I may be comforted together with you. Guess what he's going to talk about in those list of things at the end of chapter 12? He's going to talk about comforting with you in the mutual faith, both of you and me. He's going to talk about some of these things. And I guess we'll stop there, but you get the idea. Now, once they've read Romans 1, they don't need to go looking for a spiritual gift on ministry. They just need to read Romans 1. And there they go. They have their ministry pattern. Let's look at another example. They may have the Corinthian epistles, maybe just the first one, maybe the second one. But let's just look at 2 Corinthians 5. Here you want to know some more about ministry? Well, you don't need a special gift. All you need to do is read 2 Corinthians 5. So let's go there. 2 Corinthians 5. And here he's going to tell us a lot about the ministry we have. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us, what? The ministry of reconciliation. You want to know what your ministry is? Your ministry and the ministry of the body of Christ is, and the local assemblies, the individual assemblies of believers within that body of Christ is to minister reconciliation, God's reconciliation. How can that be, verse 19? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You want to know how we minister today? Well, here you got it. You don't need a special ministry, special gift on ministry. You just need to open up to 2 Corinthians 5. He tells you, we have the ministry of reconciliation. And the Corinthian assembly is supposed to be putting that out, making that available to others, making known to others God is not now counting their trespasses against them. But because of the cross work of Christ, he's offering them reconciliation. He's reconciled them. Now they have the potential of receiving that reconciliation by faith. And the assembly of believers is the one goes out and proclaims that has that ministry. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. What are we saying in our ministry? We're telling people God's not holding their trespass against them. He's dealt with all that on the cross. And we're announcing to them the reconciliation they can participate in, they can receive by faith. And we can't really stop reading at verse 20 because this verse 21 is one of the most amazing verses in Paul's epistles. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We can't get much better than that. He was made sin for us so that we can be made, so that we were made the righteousness of God in him. All right. So you want to know how to minister now? You don't need a special gift. All you need to do is open up to Paul's epistles. And we just did two sections there. You could go to any number of other sections. What about, so if you want to know about how to minister, read Paul. What about teaching? We have, right here in the scriptures, we have Paul's ministry of teaching, which gives us God's ultimate teacher, which is grace. Let's go look and see what God's ultimate teacher is. Go to Titus, Titus 2. And I'm pulling out verses and passages here that make it very explicit, but this applies to all of Paul's writings. It's not just a few verses here or there. It's all about ministering and teaching and exhorting and doing all those things. But I just picked out a few where it was easy to see very explicit. Let's start out at Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And how's it appeared to all men? Through Paul's distinct apostleship and the Pauline grace mystery scriptures. Teaching us. Here we have. What does Pauline grace teach? It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Well, so now you want to know how to teach and what to teach? There you got a list. Go teach about denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, living soberly, righteously, godly in the present world. Grace teaches all that. Pauline grace truth teaches that. Pauline grace is the teacher now. Not some special spiritual gift. This is temporary and partial spiritual gift, but now this full, complete spiritual gift of Pauline grace truth. The Holy Spirit's going to work from this now. Instead of giving you this information through a special revelation, a prophecy, or through some other means, we're going to read it in His Word. Have it with us at all the time. A permanent record. And the Holy Spirit's going to work through this. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. What should we teach? Teach about that rapture coming that gives us that hope set before us that makes enduring trials and tribulations more possible and to be able to be done with joy. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto us a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things, now look at verse 15. These things, we'll come back to this verse, these things speak, he just talked about teaching up above, so we could add teaching, speaking and teaching, and exhorting. Guess what our next gift is going to be? He's going to talk about the exhortation, right? In Romans 12. And so we'll be back for that. But he says, these things speak or teach and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. So you want to know how to teach? You want to know what you should be teaching? How to teach? You go to Paul's Titus 2. It'll be a good start. And he gives you all kinds of things. This is what the teaching that Pauline grace teaches. And we teach what Pauline grace teaches, that becomes what we teach. We don't need a partial, temporary spiritual gift. We have the permanent spiritual gift right before us. We can look at a couple others. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2. Now, they want to know this. They have this right at hand. They could look at this right now. They probably have 1 Corinthians. I'd imagine their co-workers or some other way they got it. So here's another one on teaching. How do we teach? Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. So there you go. Teaching doesn't require. The teaching of Pauline grace doesn't require excellency of speech or a wisdom, meaning from the human and worldly wisdom. Declaring, and it involves declaring the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There we have the cross of Christ. And I was with you in weakness and in fear. Teaching, Pauline grace teaching doesn't require having all your strength and all your abilities and everything. It's something done in weakness because God's doing it in and through you. And he says, and in fear and in much trembling. It's not something boastful. It's not something you make much of for yourself. It's something done in fear and trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. Teaching doesn't involve enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and a power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what that kind of teaching releases, the power of the Spirit and of God. Howbeit, we speak the wisdom, them that are perfect, complete, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So there we're back to Pauline grace mystery truth, and that's the teaching basis. You want to know what to teach? There you have it. You want to know something else to teach? Well, we're in 1 Corinthians 2. Go down to verse 10. Verse 10. Here's some other things we can teach. When we're taught of the Spirit, we can now teach these things to others. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by a Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Go down to verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know all things that are freely given to us of God. Well, there you got something. The teaching's going to involve telling others about the free things we have of God. All the things graced to us through Christ and His cross. Pauline grace. Which things also, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth. There's our word, teaching. But which the Holy Spirit teaches. We don't need a temporary, partial, spiritual gift on teaching. We have the full revelation of Pauline grace, mystery teaching through the Holy Spirit. The words with the Holy Spirit teaching, comparing spiritual, and then just look at verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See, if we have the mind of Christ, we don't need those temporary, partial spiritual gifts anymore. We've got the full thing. We've got the complete thing. You don't need that anymore. That's Paul's point in Romans 12. It's going to be proportional. As you get more and more Pauline grace mystery truth, the Holy Spirit's going to use that more and more, like we just did in those few passages, and He's going to use those temporary partial spiritual gifts less and less. So today, since we have the full and complete revelation of Pauline grace truth, we don't need to go back to those gifts. We don't need to try and recreate Pentecost. We don't need to go back to the good old days of the early church or anything like that. We need to go on and enjoy the full revelation of Pauline grace mystery truth. All right, back to, we have a whole list of ones here. Maybe some of those you'd want to follow up on your own. We're not going to go look up all those. Just trying to give you a flavor of how now the rest of Romans 12 is going to show them how the Holy Spirit's going to displace those temporary partial spiritual gifts and replace them with Pauline grace mystery truth. Let's go to the next one. The next one here in verse 8. I'm back to Romans 12, verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. So now we have exhorting. You want to know how to exhort? Go to Paul's writings. And as a matter of fact, that's exactly what he's going to do in the next, from verse 9 to 21, in the next 13 verses. And as a matter of fact, I counted them quickly. It kind of depends a little bit on how you count them, but there's 13 verses, 9 to 21, and in those 13 verses, Paul is going to give 28 exhortations. You want to know, Romans, how to exhort? Well, instead of going back to those temporary partial spiritual gifts, once you get this letter to you, you can start by going to Romans 12 and start being exhorted. Once you know how Paul exhorted, you'll know how to exhort others. And you can find that in the rest of Romans 12. And that's exactly what he's going to do. In these remaining 13 verses, he's going to give 28 exhortations. We have now Paul's full explanation of exhorting. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. I'm just trying to point this out to show how they could be using these things. They probably had 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. Now let's see what Paul did in Thessalonica. Chapter 2, verse 11. You want to know how to exhort, Romans? Here's how you exhort. Once you have 1 Thessalonians, you don't need a temporary partial spiritual gift. You just need to read how Paul exhorted the Thessalonians. And well, I just pulled out one verse here. Look at verse, verse 11. Begin at verse 10. He's talking about his ministry to the Thessalonians. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you. Well, there you go. There's some exhorting. Holiness, acting justly, unblameably. Verse 11, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted. Remember from Romans 1:12, he talked about being comforted in the mutual faith. There's an exhortation. And charged every one of you, here's the exhortation, as a father doth his children. You want to know how to exhort? You don't need a special spiritual, temporary, partial spiritual gift. You just need to read Thessalonians and see how Paul did it. He exhorted as a father with his own children. That's how he's going to do it. Go over to chapter 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1, still in 1 Thessalonians. Furthermore, then, we beseech you. That was a verse, that's a word from Romans 12, 1, right? Beseeching, that grace word, agape love grace word. I would beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye abound more and more. You want to know what to exhort? You exhort others. You are exhorted by the Holy Spirit through Paul's seeing what Paul, how Paul exalted, exhorted, and you transfer that exhortation to others, to the brethren. Pass that on to others so that they might know how to walk in a way that's well-pleasing to the Lord and do it more and more. It's not an on-off switch. It's something you learn and you start as you God brings in more, as you bring in more and more of Pauline grace, God's truth, it'll just, your brain's only so big, right? We're finite human beings. You can only hold so much. And if you bring in God's things, they begin to replace the world's things and your own selfish concerns and your own worldly wisdom and human knowledge and all that. They begin to, but you can't just push out those things because then you end up with an empty head. You ignore those things and focus on God's things, and that will bring it in, and then those things will just be pushed out. And it happens more and more. It's not an instant on-off switch. It's a progressive a development of spirituality and maturity in the Christian walk. All right, well, let's go over back to Titus since we're in this neck of the woods here. Go a few more pages over to Titus. We read this earlier, but since we're in exhortation, now we'll read it again. Verse 15 of chapter 2. Titus 2, 15. These things speak and exhort, rebuke with all authority. So all those things that he gave a list that grace teaches, we not only teach them, we exhort with them, or we rebuke with them. See, so now you don't need a special gift on a partial temporary gift on teaching. You don't need a special temporary partial gift on exhortation. You just need to go to Paul's epistles now. And as the Romans, the proportionality concept comes in, as they got more and more of Paul's scriptures, the Holy Spirit would rely more and more on that and less on those temporary partial spiritual gifts. What about, let's just wrap it up here now with these final ones, and then we'll take a look at some things in the rest of the chapter. So the final one, we have giving, ruling, and exhorting. We can just say the same thing there. We have all the things that Paul has imparted unto us in the scriptures. We just read in 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and following about the Holy Spirit teaches us all the things God has freely given to us today. So that's a good starting point. Pick it up with that. And when you know how God gives, He sent His Son to die on that cross so that He might give us these things. You'll know how you should give. You won't need a temporary partial spiritual gift. You'll just need to go read about what Christ did for us on that cross so He could give us things. And think of the same way, have that mind of Christ. Chapter 1:11. Remember in chapter Romans 1:11, it's that verse we've been talking about because it says He's wanted to go there to impart that spiritual gift that could fully establish them. That word impart in Romans 1:11 is the same word here for giveth, giving, imparting. You want to know what you should impart and how to impart? Go back and read that section we've read already in Romans 1:11. And you'll see that how He was imparting, what He was giving and how He was giving it. And you'll know how to do that. All right. For leading, we'll just wrap these up. We won't even look at these passages because I think you're getting the idea. You can go back and follow these through. Leading and pastoring, we now have God's full revelation about how to rule in the dispensation of grace. There's a couple passages here. What I kind of find interesting in Titus 3:8-15, he tells us you how not to lead. So you go to Paul's epistles, you not only know how to lead, you'll know how not to lead. And he's going to give that. Once you have the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, once you have all that, you don't need a special gift, temporary and partial gift on pastoring or leading or ruling. You'll have Paul's pattern for leading and ruling and teaching and pastoring and all that. Once you have the full thing, you won't need the other. Showing mercy. That's the last one on the list there. Now we have the full knowledge of the mercies of God. What was? How did the verse 1 in chapter 12, go back to Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's what he's been talking about in the first 11 chapters. Now that the Romans, once they got this epistle, now they wanted to know about the mercies of God, how to operate in a merciful. They didn't need a special temporary partial spiritual gift. They just needed to read the first 11 chapters of Romans. And especially, and not especially, but there's two different aspects, the mercy in those first 8 chapters, and then the mercy in what we call that dispensational section. The very purpose of what God's doing today. He's gathered everyone now under sin, in unbelief, all on the same plane, so that He can show mercy to all. The very purpose of this dispensation is He's holding back His wrath and judgment. That's mercy. Mercy is not giving us what we deserve, His wrath and judgment. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. He's holding back, out of mercy, He's holding back His wrath and judgment. And during this interlude, He's giving us His grace, His blessings, grace and peace. So you have everything you need. And once they received this Paul's epistles, they had to understand they were going to accept it, that they needed to rely less and less on those temporary partial spiritual gifts until they would eventually cease and rely more and more on Pauline grace scriptures, as not least of which being this letter to Rome that he's sending to them. it'll take their amount of the measure of Pauline grace truth from about here all the way up to there. And the Holy Spirit's going to use that instead of those other gifts. All right, if they were going to be a united assembly made up of many different members, they would need to rely less and less on those many different spiritual gifts and more unify around the one mutual spiritual gift of Pauline grace truth. We could go to Ephesians 4, verse 4 and 5, but I would rather go to Romans 1 again. And let's see. Once he gives, pick it up at verse 11 with the spiritual gift he wants to give them that can fully establish him, that can do what those other gifts couldn't do. He wants to impart to them that spiritual gift to the end you be established. Verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you in the mutual faith. What's the mutual faith? It's the faith, Pauline grace mystery truth, the one spiritual gift of verse 11, the verse just before it. And they'd be unified, brought together. The only way the body of Christ is going to be unified is if they all come around Pauline grace mystery truth. That's why there's a different church, a different so-called Christian religion, a different Christian denomination, a different Christian church, a different Christian sect, a different Christian society, school, seminary, on every street corner. Because they're all picking their own scriptures they want to live out of, or their own human wisdom or worldly wisdom they want to operate in accord. The only answer for being comforted is when everyone's coming around the mutual faith, Pauline grace mystery truth. And that's what these Romans needed to realize. All right. So now as we go down through, it started verse 9 here, and let's just look at a couple things in the final moments here. Okay, let's look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. And we're going to come back to the love thing. This is agape love, and we're going to come back to that. But now let's just keep going. As I said earlier, commentators don't really know what to do with this passage. It's just kind of a weird passage. There's no verbs, hardly no verbs, and it's just like blah, 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 just pound, 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 pound. It kind of, what I would use the terminology maybe, it's like Paul is shooting off the fireworks, but not the fireworks during the firework show. It's shooting off the fireworks at the end of the firework show. You know, when they take everything left and they just shoot them all up at once? That's like what Paul's doing here at the end of chapter 12. Someone said he sounded like an auctioneer. Other people said he kind of sounds like a drill sergeant. He's just kind of come and do this. And what I would suggest is that he's giving things now that they've been told by the Spirit in these spiritual gifts, and he's recording them in his scriptures. He's showing them that they need to go to this now, not rely on that. And he comes, and I think he's taking things that the Spirit has taught them about ministry and exhortation and teaching and all that, and he's now put them in the scriptures for them. And he's leading them to his scriptures. Now you don't need a spiritual gift to tell you these things. You just need to go to my spiritual gift to you, Pauline grace truth, my scriptures here. So let's just look at this. And it's all based on genuine love, that agape love. And again, we'll get back to that. But I just wanted to show you some things here. Let's think about exhortation. Exhortation. So all of these are going to begin with love. In the rest of chapter 12, Paul shows how this works, how the Spirit's going to displace those other gifts with Paul's one gift, one spiritual gift, and shows them how this is going to work. And he's going to do it with this explosion of admonitions, explosions. Probably we just stick with the word exhortation. because that's what the gift is. We just read about a verse or two before this. So beginning with love, Paul shows the Romans how to exhort one another with no fewer than 28 exhortations. As you go down from 9 to 21, verses 9 to 21, there's 28 exhortations in 13 verses. His point is, to the Romans, you don't now, once you get this epistle, you don't need a partial and temporary gifts of those spiritual gifts on exhortation. You just need to read them in chapter 12, for starters, and there's many others too, and the rest of his scriptures. But you could start right here in chapter 12. So that's how they're to replace that gift with Paul's gift of exhortation. Ministry and teaching. Ministry, teaching, ruling, beginning with love again. That's the heading of this whole section. Let's read the next verse. Let's pick it up at verse 11. And we'll come back to the love thing, as I said. But verse 11, not slothful in business. That means not shirking back. And this isn't business. This isn't your grocery store or your factory. He's not talking about those things. He's talking about the business of the Lord, the church's business, the business of unifying and building up the body of Christ, knitting them together in love. That's the business he's talking about here. Not slothful in that. Doesn't shrink back from that, but fervent in spirit, set on fire by the Spirit. And for what purpose? Serving the Lord. That's serving. That's that word ministry, ministering unto the Lord. And again, we've seen this before. Look, I mentioned this when we were back in Romans 1. What does Paul say to the Corinthians or to the Romans back in Romans 1? He says that I'm serving in the gospel of the Son in my spirit. And his spirit, as we learn in Romans 8, is under the power of the Holy Spirit. Not slothful, not shirking back from the business of the assembly and the body of Christ, but on fire for it, going after it, seeking after it, and with a fire, not just from selfish interest or anything, but from the Holy Spirit working in and through us, ministering, serving the Lord. And these things, now that becomes the basis. You don't need the gift of teaching and ministry and exhorting. All you need now is to read Paul's scriptures. Giving. So that was verse 12, giving now. Beginning in love, he's going to tell you about giving. Look at verse 13 now. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. So he's just going through these points. He says, now that addresses this temporary partial gift of giving. Now the key is you don't need that temporary partial spiritual gift of giving. You just need to go to Paul's scripture. And here you get a leg up on the horse. Giving or distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Romans 1:11, we learned that what Paul's giving, what most wants to give is that one spiritual gift, Pauline grace, mystery, truth. And it's all giving based on the giving of Christ on that cross. So there's some more giving. You don't need that temporary partial gift anymore. You've got the full revelation of God's giving and Paul's pattern of giving and what was important to give. Same way with mercy. Let's look. He's going to give verse 14 now. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. What is mercy? Not giving people what they deserve. And here he gives an example. Here, you want to know how to carry out mercy, being merciful with cheerfulness? Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Go down to verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Go down to verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. And so there's the mercy. You don't need a temporary partial gift of mercy. You just need to come and read Paul's scriptures now. prophecy. And of course, this will bring it to something of a conclusion, because now this is the first one he gives. It's the priority one, because new revelation comes through prophecy. And that's kind of the source of information for all those other gifts. But once you have the full revelation of God, you don't need any new revelations. That gift is going to cease. All those other gifts are going to cease, because you now have the one spiritual gift that can fully establish the believer today in a complete and permanent form. Pauline Grace Scriptures. All right, and then we'll end with that. Let's just set it up for next week. We're going to be done with the spiritual gifts, and we're going to go on. Now, everything now that comes out, every ministry, every exhortation, everything else that goes on, every giving, every show of mercy, everything else, the starting point for everything now and everything else he's going to list out here is love. It says in my King James, it uses terminology, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. I kind of just combine that together. Genuine, sincere, agape love. That's the basis for everything now. Everything that happens from here on out. And that is can only be produced by Pauline Grace Mystery Truth. And that is something that those other gifts couldn't permanently produce and fully produce. Genuine love. We have looked mostly at Philippians 2, Christ's descent in Philippians 2, but there's a lot of other passages. So we're going to look at that next time, a couple of those, and look at that from a few different angles. Agape love, I'll just close with this. Agape love isn't the divinization of human love. It's not the raising up of human loves to a higher level. That's not what it is. It is not the, it originates in the triune Godhead. It develops there. It's created there and was put on great display at the cross of Christ and is given. It has to be given. It's not something that humans raise up, or even a human love that God or humans raise up. It's a love that God gives to humans. And it's not just any human. It's only given to the believer, for the believer to participate in, make use of, and share with others by the Holy Spirit. This love is only something believers can share in. And the reason for that is simple. Believers have received, by very definition, believing the good news of the death and resurrection of Christ on the cross, they've received the love of God at the cross of Christ. An unbeliever, by very definition, is someone who's rejected the love of God at the cross of Christ. Agape love can only be done by a believer, and that is the basis for every other service, every other activity within the body of Christ.